Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi.
Happy Easter,
everyone. This evening. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I wanted to wish everyone a happy Easter. I hope everyone had a good day today, enjoyed family and friends. And we have a good show tonight lined up.
Yes, indeed. Season 6, episode 54, Democracy or Fascism, You Choose. And, you know, Biden and Democracy versus Trump and Fascism. A broken capitalist system has two ways out, either fascism or social democracy. Is Trump a fascist or just a useful idiot to those who control America behind the scenes? There's a growing sort of Christian nationalism that can well cause a second American Civil War. How can that be avoided? Could fascism happen in America? Could fascism succeed in America? What role, if any, does class warfare play in today's politics? America is at a crossroads, and there's a fight for the soul of America. The past is being erased in what is being taught in public schools. The erasure has been forgotten with little or no pushback. Lies are becoming truth in the eyes of the gullible. We must stop this whitewashing and come to grips with our bloody past and genocide of racism and genocide. What will it take for most Americans to wake up to the reality that our democracy is being threatened by fascism as white nationalist Christians are trying to turn America into a theocracy? Happy Easter, and thank you for joining us on a big broadcast tonight. We have a lot to cover tonight, so many questions to cover, and we try to do our part in trying to save American democracy. Weigh in and call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. And please, please turn off all background noises as a distraction to us as hosts and people listening in. Fail it to do so, then your call will be cut off. We're glad that you could you like and share across social media. Our Facebook pages are on fire and growing daily. Share with 5 friends daily and let domino effect happen. We are eternally grateful for your support as we speak truth to power 3 times a week. Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Check out our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 podcast. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, Donald Trump is at it again, and he is talking like a fascist, behaving like a fascist. Yep. And he wants to be a dictator, but Pitt said that he's too stupid to be a dictator. There's the people behind him and around him that's like pushing this narrative, and America won't stand for it. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, you're absolutely right. He feels that if he can, you know, get elected again, number one, he'll pardon himself. Number two, the idea of him being in full control of power is probably the biggest thing that he could ever imagine for his own life. I mean, I bet you he sees stars when he thinks about that. You know, probably silicones go off in his head. You know, it's just crazy. So we cannot allow that, because he will not be good for America. And we're going to go through the reasons why he will not be good for America. And we will also do a little bit of a comparison. It's not going to be dragged out, but just sharp points to show you the difference between Trump and President Biden. There are stark differences, and people need to wake up and understand that literally when you go to the ballot box in November, you are either voting for autocracy, a dictatorship, or a democracy. That is what you have to understand. And if you don't like President Biden for whatever reason, push it aside for this time. For this election, push it aside. And the next election, you can have more say. We'll have more younger candidates probably. But we need President Biden, because at this point, he knows how to keep our democracy going. And he needs to finish what he started. So with that, let's move on to Trump's dictator remarks.
Yes, yes. So Trump vows to only be a dictator on day one, and that follows growing worry over his authoritarian rhetoric. So as Donald Trump faces growing scrutiny over his increasingly authoritarian and violent rhetoric, Fox News and their host, Sean Hannity, gave his longtime friend a chance to assure the American people that he wouldn't abuse power or seek retribution if he wins a second term. But instead of offering the perfunctory answer, brushing off the warnings, Trump stoked the fire, and he said in front of a GOP crowd, except for day one. And it was in Devonport, Iowa, and the crowd burst out in applause. And he also said in this thing that, "I want to close the border. I want to drill, drill, drill." And in case anyone missed it, he reenacted the exchange. Trump said to Hannity, "We love this guy." He says, "You're not going to be a dictator, are you?" And Trump said, "No, no, no. Other than day one, we're closing the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator." So Trump making a joke out of it, something serious, making a joke out of it. And based on his behavior, you know, nobody can put it past him, as Trump has a long history of making inflammatory proclamations that spark outrage from detractors and generate a stream of headlines without ever coming to fruition. So often they're made in a tongue-in-cheek manner that allows Trump's allies to claim he was joking and cite the backlash as another example of a candidate skilled at baiting an out-of-touch press and takes him far too literally. And how can you not take Donald Trump literally? Because this guy has been given everything in his life. Nobody has said no to him. He wants his own way 100% of the time. And Trump campaign aides said that the former president was simply trying to trigger the left and the media with his dictator comments, while also seeking to focus attention on the influx of migrants at the border and stubborn inflation. Two vulnerabilities that President Biden heading into 2024 general election is having. So, but the consequences of Trump's rhetoric has been made all too clear. After he refused to accept the results of the 2020 election and a mob of his supporters violently stormed the U.S. Capitol to stop the certification of Biden's victory, the former president, who has long expressed regard for authoritarian leaders and the power they wield, is now vowing vengeance and retribution as he outlines a second-term agenda marked by an unprecedented expansion of executive power, unparalleled interference in the justice system, and a massive purge of civil servants to put in his own people. So indeed, hours before his remarks were aired, a longtime ally he's widely expected to serve in a top national security role if Trump returned to the White House, vowed to target journalists in a second Trump term. And Kash Patel said, you know, Kash Patel is the guy who went to prison for Trump, quote, "We're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens who helped Joe Biden rig the presidential elections." Even though a number of federal and local officials, a long list of courts, top former campaign staffers, and even Trump's own attorney general, Bill Barr, have said that there's no evidence of the fraud he alleges, Biden and other critics have seized on Trump's comments, painting him as a threat to democracy, and they seek to turn the 2024 election into another referendum on a former president instead of Biden. Cognizant at risk, Trump's campaign has tried to distance itself from Patel's statement, as well as headline-grabbing policy plans proposed by several outside groups staffed by long-term Trump allies, with top aides issuing a statement last month saying the group did not speak for the campaign. And that group is the Heritage Foundation that wrote this nasty 1,000-page document called Project 2025. People can go to Kitchen Politics 123 and read the outline and the different things that Project 2025 is about. Trump, too, has tried to turn the tables on Biden, who has increasingly argued that the former president poses a fundamental danger to the country in a speech in Iowa. Trump insisted that Biden, who is a true destroyer of democracy, citing the four criminal indictments he's facing as politically motivated efforts to damage his campaign, which is not true because all the evidence point to Trump and all the people given evidence are Republicans, not one Democrat. It's an argument that Trump and his campaign plan to continue to make heading into the 2024 election. So the Biden's campaign attacks at Trump's senior advisor, Jason Miller, is a clear sign that Democrats believe their only possible pathway to victory is to go scorched earth on President Trump, which is a good thing because if you play, you know, softball with Trump, you know, he just override you and bully you. They tried that with Hillary and somewhat it worked. But if Hillary responded, then, you know, it's oh, she's unladylike, you know, she is, you know, emotional and all that. And who's more emotional than Donald Trump? So despite the attempts to make outlandish statements about what future Trump looked like, Trump's term looked like, Stephen Miller said there's now a reference point. Quote, 4 years of President Trump in the White House, and he never did any of the type of things that Joe Biden is currently doing to him, which is a lie. That was an outright lie. So in 2016, Trump, in his own words, said, "I declare I'm a voice. Today I add, I'm your warrior. I'm your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I'm your retribution." He said this in March 2023. And that's so disgusting. Yep. We have like seven calls lined up and we take the calls one by one. And please do not speak over anybody. Do not shout. Do not scream. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Okay? What do you have to say about that, Lori?
David, before you take the first call, can I please read the difference between democracy and autocracy quickly?
Okay. Yeah.
So when you talk about a dictator, this is what you get. It's a government or a social situation where one person makes all the rules and decisions with input from anyone else. Dictatorship implies absolute power. One person who takes control of a political situation, a family, a classroom, or even a camping expedition. That's what it is. One person that tells everyone else what to do, and if they don't like it, too bad, it's what he wants. So we can compare that to our democracy, and some people will say republic, which is also true, the democracy in contrast. Let me see. Hold on one second. I have it right here. I wanted to read it word for word. There's so much scrolling. Here it is right here. Okay. The Democratic Charter defines the essential elements of representative democracy in a very specific terms, including respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms, holding free and fair elections, a pluralist system of political parties and organization, separation of powers, independence of the branches, government, freedom of expression, and the press, and the constitutional subordination of the state's institutions to the legally constituent civilian authority. So it's actually a stark difference. One man, and this is a government of people, and elections by the people, and they, like in Russia, what happened a few weeks ago, they said, well, he was the only one you could vote for was Putin, so of course he's going to be the dictator for six more years. I mean, And if you didn't vote for him or spoke out about it, you were in prison. You went to prison, and they showed some people being hauled away with their signs. So that's just how it is. So people, if you want, you know, a democracy a dictatorship, take your choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And other countries like North Korea, other countries like Cuba, Sudan, the Middle East, you know, they don't have free and fair elections. They have, you know, just one party usually on the ballot and one person to be head of state and everything. And if you disagree with that, you go to the gulag, you go to prison, and they even kill you. So what we have here is precious. We shouldn't take it for granted. And those people who have spoke to this young man, he's originally from Iowa, and he's a good guy and everything. He leans Democrat, and he's telling me during his life there in Iowa that it's not a rural areas in Iowa, and people always lean Republican. But as soon as he turned 18, his first election he voted Democratic, and he says he can't see voting for Joe Biden 2024. Maybe he's going independent or for RFK Jr. because Joe Biden, with that crime bill, really messed up a lot of African Americans and minorities, which is true. But Joe Biden apologized for that. He saw the errors of his ways, and he's trying to make it up with all these things that he has gotten past and signed into law.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if you vote for a Green Party or if you vote for an independent person, then may as well vote for Donald Trump or stay home, because third parties have never made a dent in American politics. So only little dent really was when Teddy Roosevelt ran on the Bull Moose ticket, and that split the Republican vote, giving Woodrow Wilson the election in 1912. You know, so you know, the way the electorate is set up, the Electoral College, you know, a third party don't stand any chance. Ross Perot is the latest person who tried it. And you got one electoral college vote, you know? And, you know, so don't waste your vote on Green Party or independent candidates like RFK Jr. Because RFK Jr. is just running on his name, the good candidate name, you know?
And don't forget his own family is not supporting him. And that must say something right there. His own family is not supporting him. His own sister was interviewed a couple weeks ago, and she will not. He doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. She says he does not belong being the president of the United States. You know, he doesn't have the values for it, in her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and God forbid,
is,
and God forbid, mm-hmm. and God forbid that if Trump wins, he'll be the CDC director. No, that's frightening.
Yeah, it is. It mm-hmm. is frightening. Well, anyone that mm-hmm. he would put, anyone that Trump would put in any sort of position of power in the administration would be frightening, because we know already mm-hmm. who he would put in there. He knows what type of people he would put in there,
mm-hmm.
and they're not
mm-hmm.
for
because
the people.
Because
the people, that's for sure.
The people who he puts into power, like Betsy DeVos, her children never went to public school a day in her life, but yet still, he put her in there, and she was pushing for charter school in the 4 years that she was in there. She had no clue what she was doing, and she was cutting costs across the board. You know, so these people are fascists. They want to put in a theology system that Iran has,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'll see how well that's working for Iran. You know, so let's not go down that rabbit hole, because if we go down that rabbit hole, maybe too late, and we can't come back, and democracy will be gone forever. 515-605-9802, say first name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, what's cooking? You're on air, 810 error code. Quran.
Maybe just listening.
Leopard, Flint. Yes, hello, you're on air. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess the person don't want to talk. Hello,
or
welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Elaine from Michigan.
Oh, hi,
hey,
Elaine.
How welcome.
Are you? Both of you have brought up some very good points, but I'm going to bring up a little bit different point. A man
mm-hmm.
that threatens the judge's children, who has been threatening everybody ever since he's been indicted, does
mm-hmm.
not need to be walking the streets. He needs
what
is known as a I forget how they said it. Anyways, he needs to be locked up.
Yep.
Everybody better believe what's going on. What
mm-hmm.
kind of person do you want running this country? One that threatens
mm-hmm.
judges? We
judge's
have a legal
family.
System. He claims
judge's
he's
family.
Innocent. Then go to court and prove it. But
he's
now threatening the children. I'll tell you
what,
I think his son, Barron, is full game. If he's going to threaten the judge's children, I think his kids are full game, including the grandchildren. And I'll tell you something else that I want to say to the Red Hats. I went and looked up my insurance policy, and my Smith & Wesson insurance policy is up to date. So bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
I am madder than hell. All I have heard all day today is how Trump keeps threatening judges, prosecutors, witnesses, this has got to stop.
You
get a speeding ticket, and you find out you've got a particular judge that you know is really rough on people that speed, and you make a comment, your ass is grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You know, the
and
thing
this
is
man
Elaine,
is getting away with this shit, and this is heavy-duty shit. This isn't a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a speeding ticket.
No.
Mm-hmm.
This is people's lives. It really is.
This is enough. All day long, he has threatened everybody he can think of.
Yep. What about, did you guys see the video of that truck? There was a truck. It was, I don't know where it was released. I think it was released on Truth Social. And it was a truck.
Trump released it on his own Truth Social. And it was a truck.
And it had
a picture of Biden bound and tied in the back of the truck. In other words, he was kidnapped.
He was bound and gagged on the back of the truck. It was a huge picture of him. And he had it across the back of the truck. And it was life-size. And it looked exactly, it had all his Trump flags. And this truck was just gliding along, with Trump, I mean with Biden, tied up and gagged on the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
If that
mm-hmm.
is not...
Well, maybe we ought to get a picture of Trump and do the same damn thing. You know, I think it's time. I really think it's time. We're sitting back and we're letting this shit go on and on and on. Well, maybe a few of us ought to form a posse and do the same damn thing. Then we'll see how they like it.
Huh?
Or better yet, why don't we just have an AI thing of Donald Trump standing up in a firing squad, in front of a firing squad? That would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, we see how his support is taking. You know,
I did see an AI one where he was holding the Bible and all flames were coming out of his head. He was like electrocuted from it. I thought that was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
the thing is, and I agree with Elaine, he needs to be locked up. But the thing is that I think in his mind, he's going right to the line because he's kind of daring them. Lock me up and see what happens.
He's not the only one doing this.
I remember when
he was running for election, he had hired people that would go into quiet neighborhoods, such as our governor and Dana Nessel, and they would, all of a sudden, they would pull out these flags claiming they were UAW, and they weren't. They were all paid actors.
Yep.
And they would go in these neighborhoods, and they would have a rally. I think it's time we start doing the same thing.
Yeah,
this is plain intimidation. This is Hitler all over again.
Oh, it is. And the thing is that I truly believe that this time they should arrest him. He should be arrested. Enough. You know, I mean, the last time when he was in Georgia and he did a mugshot and he made money off of it.
This has got Bannon's fingerprints all over it. It's got all of his cronies' fingerprints all over it. See, he's got his soldiers out there. He's worse than any mobster we have ever tried to put away and put away.
I know. And he wants to be the president of the most powerful country in the world. Think about that, people.
He's a mobster.
Is that what you want? You want a mobster, a low-life scumbag that cares about no one except himself? No one except himself. He doesn't care about his kids.
He doesn't care about his wife either, because she's bought and paid for.
Of course she is. You better believe she's bought and paid for.
She's bought and paid for. That's why she doesn't say anything. And she comes from a country that wasn't too nice. She couldn't wait to get her citizenship, and they couldn't wait to make her parents citizens. Or they were here over here illegally, but they got their citizenship, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And they got
so between Melania
bad.
And her parents, they're bought and paid for.
Yes, they are. There's no doubt. No doubt. But like I said, see, there's two justice systems in this country, too. You have to remember that. You know, there's the elite justice system, and then there's us. And that's just how it goes. And they're too worried about, you know, what if we arrest him? What if we put him in? Who cares? Don't we have a military? Also, can't we call it the National Guard? I mean, come on. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
What, we don't know how to defend ourselves?
Come on.
Okay, I mean, these megas, come on. We don't know how to defend ourselves?
Of course we do. We all do.
Of course
we all
we
can
do.
Defend ourselves. Oh, yep. You know, they're just, you know, intimidation can go a long way. But the time has come now. I mean, the time has really come. He's got to be muzzled and put in a cell for a week, 2 weeks. I don't care. A month, a year, who cares? Just get him out of our faces for a while.
There was other high-profile people that have been arrested. Yeah, they were treated a little bit nicer, but they were arrested and they went to trial and they were either found innocent or guilty and they served their time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is with Trump. This is too much.
Yeah,
and if there's any judges listening, We have had it out here as citizens. We have had it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, Dory, what do you think about Trump saying, I think, about bloodbath if he loses and migrants aren't people?
That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine President Biden saying anything like that? Can you imagine any other, even Bush, I'll say, I'll even go to, George Bush. I'll even go to him. Can you imagine him saying that? No, you can't imagine anyone else saying that except this.
I can't even imagine Cruz saying that.
Pardon?
I can't even imagine Cruz saying that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Who would say something like that? A bloodbath. He doesn't care if people are hurt or maimed or killed in his name. Are you serious? Who wants to do that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How many people
and that guy running around in that
truck,
I'll bet you any money. He was bought and paid for to do that.
Oh, probably. I don't know. It's possible. Anything's possible now.
I mean, where does the average person get that kind of money to get that kind of a picture, a 3D picture, and then have it mounted to his truck? Give me a break.
Yeah.
He's paid. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
People wake up.
Yeah, look it up, people, if you haven't seen it. It's disgusting. Look it up.
So Trump,
it's all over. It's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Trump spoke at Daytona, Ohio last Saturday. Trump spoke last Saturday at Daytona, Ohio, and praised his chosen candidate in the race for American First champion and political outsider who spent his entire life building up Ohio communities. And this person is Bernie Moreno. He's running against Sherrod Brown. He's an official Republican nominee. And according to Trump, he's going to be a warrior in Washington. So Moreno faces Secretary of State Franklin Rose. I'm sorry, not Sherrod Brown, but Secretary of State Franklin Rose and State Senator Matt Dolan in Tuesday's GOP primary. LaRose and Moreno have aligned themselves with the pro-Trump faction of the party, while Dolan is backed by more establishment Republicans, including Governor Mike DeWine and former Senator Rob Portman. So, Saturday's rally was hosted by Buckeye Values PAC, Political Action Committee, a group backing Moreno's candidacy. But Trump used a stage to deliver a profanity-filled version of his usual rally speech that, again, painted an apocalyptic picture of the country if Biden wins a second term. And according to Trump, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country, he warned. While talking about the impact of offshoring on the country's auto industry and its plans to increase tariffs on foreign-made cars. He wants to raise the tariffs by 100%, and that would just kill the auto industry. So Biden campaign spokesperson James Singer accused Trump of doubling down on his threats of political violence. Have any time in American history, have we ever had, besides the Civil War, have we ever had political violence or rhetoric like this?
No, I think the red hat people ought to sit back and if anything, think about this. I have seen different sites. I have seen your profiles. You have children. You have animals. You have dogs. You have cats. You have horses. You have a small farm. You have chickens. This man that you idolize can't even get near an animal. He doesn't like animals. Doesn't that tell you anything about his character? When they brought in an eagle to have a picture taken with an eagle, the eagle took one look at him and wanted to take his eyes out. Doesn't that tell you anything about his character?
I saw that video
over and over. They brought that eagle in. He was as calm as he could be. He took one look at Trump, and they had to pull that eagle out of there. He wanted to tear Trump apart.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
People, please.
I never saw that.
Red hatters, you have animals. Animals have an instinct for evil. Your animals don't try to bite you, but they try to bite him. Why? Because he's evil.
Yeah, he is evil. There's no doubt about that. We know that. And I still, for the life of me, do not understand what people see in him, what people think they're going to do, what he's going to do for them. And every time I ask somebody, what has he done, they can't answer. They can't respond. How did they help you? How did Trump help you? What did he do for you personally when he was president? Did he, you know, no one has an answer. And the other thing is that those that really do not understand our way our system works, a lot of them think that Biden is the reason why he's got all these indictments against him. And that is not true. President Biden has nothing to do with any of the indictments that are against him. None whatsoever. He does not have that. He does not have that power. It's not his job. He has nothing to do with what Trump has been indicted for. So people have to understand that as well, because they all think that President Biden put the word out and to go get him. Not true. It doesn't work that way. You have to have evidence. And they have the evidence, or else they couldn't have indicted him. That's what you have to use logic when you think. Use logic to get.
What's even ironic is the people that have indicted him were card-carrying Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I, you know, and when you, like the other day I was online on Facebook and someone was saying it's Joe Biden's fault that he has all these indictments against him. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You know, these people don't understand how the system works. They don't understand that a president, he's not a dictator. If he was a dictator, that's a different story. Then he could go after whomever, like Putin does, and has people killed and thrown out of windows and give them poison. He could do that if he was a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
But President Biden is not a dictator. We live in a democracy. We have a system for everything, a judicial system. And these people have indicted him. He's done wrong. He's broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
How many times? Get over it, people.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it.
Exactly. We have a call from a panhandle of Florida, the 850
mm-hmm.
air code. Okay, so
okay.
This is Kitchen Party 123-515-605-9802. Say your first name. Where are you calling in from? Let's talk about what's happening in politics today.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Party 123. What's cooking tonight?
Hey, my name is Think. Think for yourself. I wanted to jump on here and say something about the animals that was attacking Trump. I haven't heard about that eagle, but I want to, first off, before I begin with that, we don't live in a democracy, by the way. We live in a republic. A democracy.
We understand that. I just wanted to verify that.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
As well. We are democracy and we are a republic. Yes. Okay.
We're 100% republic. There's elements of democracy in this country, but democracy is usually wrong. Democracy would mean like we all vote on something. And the truth is this, the majority of us are dumb. It's the basic, it's fundamentals. That's all it is. The majority of us are dumb. But there are a few of us that actually go to school, study, and take the time to understand a specific topic. And we choose those people to lead us. Usually like a business owner, we don't go into a business and say, hey, let's vote on when the business should be open, what hours. No, the manager is the person that decides on that. They break it down, what hours have the most people and what don't. And then that's when they decide the hours that should be open or not. It's not the majority. I mean, if you ask the majority of us if we should have free food, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be like, yeah. We should have everything for free, right?
No.
But we don't live in a democracy.
I don't think so.
Here we go again.
I don't think so. I don't think that the majority of people would feel good about having free food if they could afford to buy it when there are people that are starving to death. I don't believe that. I'm sorry to say.
Okay, maybe free
food
is...
Have them come to a point.
Maybe free food is something maybe extreme. How about free Nikes, free shoes, free Versace shirts and stuff like that? Do you think the majority of people
want that?
Who gives that? Wait a minute. One second, sir. I want to ask you. Who gets free Nikes, Versaces? I know I don't. Free Nikes, free Versaces, free Gucci's. Who gets that? Who are these people that you're talking about?
I'm talking about Republic and Democracy. In a democracy, if you were to ask the majority of people, should they get, like, free iPhones, do you think the majority would be like, yeah, give us all free
iPhones? Who gets
free
iPhones? Who gets the
in
free
a democracy?
I don't understand your point. No,
that's
you're
exactly
wrong.
What
the
I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. You don't understand.
Oh,
no.
He's playing with us. He's trying to kill up our time.
No,
I'm trying to make a point. David,
you understand I don't understand his point. Am I missing?
I know what
you don't understand
his point. He's going to tell us we don't have a democracy is what he's trying to tell us.
Hold on, Elaine, hold on. David, what?
Okay, Paula, what's your point? Because, you know, I'm not seeing it, and, you know, nobody would want free stuff and everything if you're decent.
Because you guys don't understand the difference. If you would be maybe you would understand. That's exactly, because you're talking over me. You're not understanding. The difference between a democracy and a republic is what my point is. If you were to ask the majority of people if they should get free iPhones, the majority of people are going to say yes, and that's a democracy.
No,
how is that bullshit?
No, it's not.
How is that
wrong?
How is that wrong? So do you think the majority of people are nice and they're going to be like, yeah, we shouldn't have free phones?
No, you're absolutely wrong.
Because we should pay for them? Do you really think people are like that? People are that nice?
That's your
point.
Are you guys that nice?
Okay.
Quiet for a moment,
sir.
You guys don't understand. Okay, how about this? Let me skip that and go into the animal thing, okay? First off, I just watched a video about this dog that attacked a police officer. They had to euthanize the dog. All that happened was the police officer walked up to a woman who had a dog that's been attacking little kids.
You misunderstood everything I said. You're twisting it.
Why are you so angry?
Just wait, Elaine. You got a moment. I want to hear it. Hold on. Go on.
So the dog attacked the police officer. Are you not going to understand this story as well?
No. I was saying I want to understand, I said. So go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the dog attacked the police officer. When the police officer was called to the scene, because this dog was attacking little children, the dog, when the police officer arrived to talk to the lady, the dog ran out and bit him. Now, eventually the lady got a hold of him and the dog and put him in this car, and then they're going to have to get him euthanized.
Okay.
But if for you to say that an animal can judge a person, come on, are you really serious that animals are that smart to actually see into the mind and mentality of a person? We don't even understand each other. How can
Absolutely.
An animal? For you to claim that an animal is smarter than a human being,
Absolutely.
You are ridiculous.
You know what? I have a dog.
For you to claim that an animal would be better than us,
second.
You are ridiculous. I don't want to talk this bullshit anymore. Thanks for having me on. You guys are stupid.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye, stupid. He was twisting my words.
Yeah.
That was pissing me off.
Elaine, they
I'm
always
sorry.
There's nothing new. Nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even get upset about
mm-hmm.
it. Just hang up on him.
Yeah,
it's
we know how these people think and operate and everything. So Republic comes from the Latin roots. Let's move on.
We
can't give any more time to these idiots.
No.
A republic comes from the Latin roots, meaning public good or public affair, using an ancient Rome to simply state or country with reference to the representative democracy of the Roman Republic. Elected representatives in Congress are the contemporary examples of this type of government. So now, because democracy is an abstract name for a system and republic is the more concrete result of that system, democracy is frequently used when the emphasis is on the system itself. We could say that democracy is to the republic as monarchy is the kingdom. So democracy and republic are interchangeable, you know. So we're not a full republic. We're not a full democracy. It's a mixture of the
two. No, we're not.
So these terms
but
are not mentioned in
why
the Declaration
of Independence.
Why do they
like to argue about that? But it's still better than
just wasting our time. Just wasting our time. Let's not harp on them because they're ignorant.
It doesn't make any sense. I was just saying, wouldn't you rather have a republic and a democracy together, work together, than a dictatorship? Really? What do these people want? And what does Gucci's and Versace's have to do with anything?
I know exactly what he was trying to do.
Huh?
He was trying to say that we want a democracy, so we want everything free.
Oh, boy. That's not what a democracy is.
No, but that's what he was trying to portray.
Well, he's confused. Okay, let's move on.
He's the one that's stupid, not us. No, calling us stupid.
Yeah, I don't really care. I don't care anymore. These people are nuts.
I think that call was wrong. From Panama City Beach or Tallahassee or Pensacola, in that vicinity and panhandle. Yeah, go ahead, Laura. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's go on to the different cases that, you know, just we're not going to talk about the cases. We'll just go through what they are, just name them, and we'll talk about President Biden. You know, these are the indictments and the cases involving Donald Trump. And it's beautiful. He's just, you know, he looks so handsome in that mugshot. I mean, really handsome. Okay, so he's got the election interference case in Georgia. That's one. Let's see. That would be also a RICO case with fake electors. They had voting machine breaches. That's all got to do with the Georgia case. The next one is federal election interference. That's in D.C. That's a criminal case. Then we have the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case that's in Florida, that one. And we also have the hush money fraud case that happened in 2016, and that's going to be that's in New York, and those are felony charges of 34 counts, by the way. And then the civil cases are defamation, sexual assault, rape, and that's also in New York. It's a federal case. Then there's fraud in the state of New York. Let's see, that's the one by Letitia James. That's that $250 million civil case. Let's see what, and that's it for now. But that's plenty. So that adds up to, I believe that adds up to 84 or 86 indictments, something like that. So,
no, 91 in total. Actually, 91 in total. 91 indictments.
Well, I think it was 91, but remember in Georgia what happened? He took away four of those indictments just a few weeks ago. When he had to, with Fannie Willis, remember what happened there with Fannie Willis and the boyfriend? So he took away four charges. So it's 91 less four. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 86 charges, I believe. Yeah.
86
so
charges.
That's it. And then President Biden, how many indictments does he have? Let me look.
Zero.
Oh,
none.
Zero. Whoa! Okay, let's move on.
Okay, well, Trump is also indicted on a different federal...
He lost the E.J. Carroll case.
Yep, that's the one, yep.
And he couldn't keep his mouth shut, so he kept getting slapped with more and more money.
Yeah, well, that's all right. He's got the money, let him spend it. Okay, go
and
ahead.
All the grand juries that decided indict Trump were all made up of local citizens randomly chosen from a jury pool. So, example, a Georgia case for interference on August 14, 2023, Trump was indicted on 13 counts in Georgia state court, including under the Racketeering, Influence, and Corruption Organizations, the RICO Act. 18 additional co-defendants have been named in the case, including Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who's a shady snake rat bastard, His attorneys, yep, Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman. Just last week, John Eastman was debarred and can't practice law anymore because of his role.
Too bad, so
sad. The allegations in the indictment revolves around these individuals' efforts to overturn the will of the voters and invalidate the results of the 2020 presidential elections in Georgia. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis conducted a year-long investigation into Trump and other attempts to interfere with the results in Georgia presidential elections. The indictment was based on the testimony of witnesses as well as written recommendations of the special grand jury, which reviewed evidence and interviewed dozens of witnesses over several months. And as I said on the top of the program, all these witnesses either work in Trump White House or are Republicans. So the indictment focuses on one, the efforts to get Georgia officials to invalidate or nullify the will of the Georgia voters, including finding votes, some 11,000 plus votes. He schemed to get 16 fake electors in Georgia to cast fraudulent electoral college votes for Trump. Isn't that treason to begin with? Even though Trump did not win the popular vote in the state. A third thing was intimidating, harassing, and threatening Georgia election workers. Remember the mother-daughter duo who sued Giuliani successfully based on false accusations and an effort to influence their testimony as witnesses. Four, tampering with county voting machines. You know, so they tried to flip the votes by tampering with the vote machines. And certain defendants in the case, but not Donald Trump, have been requested that they go on trial quickly, and the judge set a trial date for October 2023 for one defendant. So D.A. Willis has requested that the remainder of the defendants, including Trump, go on trial in March 2024. You know, so a lot of people, a lot of heads will roll and everything. And the federal election interference criminal case in D.C., the grand jury indicted Trump on four counts of criminal felonies. Trump was arraigned in federal court in D.C., on Thursday, August 3rd. The charges revolve around Trump and six unnamed co-conspirators' efforts to interfere with the results of the 2020 presidential election. Special Counsel Jack Smith led the investigation into Trump and other roles in attempting to overturn the results of the election to keep Trump in power. The case is currently scheduled to go to trial March 4th, 2024, and that will be after the presidential elections. So, you know, the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case is a federal case, and Trump was arrested Tuesday, June 13, faced 40 charges in federal court in Miami, all related to his alleged illegal retention of classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate after his time in the White House as president. So the federal court documents, or the federal documents investigation, is being led by Special Counsel Jack Smith and the U.S. Department of Justice. Trump bodyman Walt Natal and Mar-a-Lago property manager Carlos de Oliveira have also been indicted as a result of the investigation. The counts in the Florida indictment focus on allegations that Trump illegally took sensitive government documents, ignored a court order to return them, and then he lied about it. So new allegations were added to the indictment late July of this year, including additional charges that Trump worked with his co-defendants to hide from federal investigators relevant surveillance footage. They sought workers moving confidential documents around the property. Some of those, footage were erased, and that's a felony right there. You know, so Trump is a proven liar and a manipulator, and he's scumbag and a dirty son of a bitch who should be in prison.
Yeah, and how many times they've moved those from place times that they've moved them, trying to hide them. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's got secret documents in the bathroom in Mar-a-Lago stacked up. Look at that. The President of the United States does that? Really?
Former President of the United States. The Hush Money Fraud Trial is that happened in 2016. The indictment brought by Manhattan DA Alan Bragg includes federal charges against Trump for 34 counts of falsifying business records. The indictment is based on allegations that Trump authorized a hush money payment of $130,000 to adult film actress Stormy Daniels on the eve of the 2016 election. You know, that would have been an October surprise, but we all know how the FBI director then, you know, really messed things up. And instead of saying that, he wrote a letter to the public and the newspapers saying that Hillary Clinton, you know, did all the, those things and was careless and what have you.
Yep.
So the allegations related to Trump's attempt to interfere with the 2016 election by failing to report campaign-related expenditure and illegal falsifying financial records to keep relevant information from voters as they prepare to cast their votes. So do you think, you know, that Trump voters would have voted differently or stayed home if they caught wind of the fact that he paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 and the Playboy model Susan McDougal? Do you think that would have changed anything?
No. Nothing's changing anything. You know, I don't think so. Are you saying, are you asking me if they're changing, would change their mind about voting for him?
Yeah. And would it piss off enough people that who stayed home to say, hey, you know, okay, I really make Trump go in there? You know, because, you know, Hillary, people hate Hillary, you know, and if that was out in the public, do you think it would motivate enough people to come out then to vote for
I don't know, David. You know what? The reason why I'm saying that is because I think there is so much misinformation out there. And I'm not saying this is misinformation, but people are just tuned out. And there's so much out there that you can't decide what's true and what's false. I mean, a lot of it, you really have to scratch your head and think, you know, go to another source. Are they saying the same thing? But see, people don't do that. So I'm not really sure if they would stay home or not. I don't know. It's hard to know.
David,
the Electoral College beat Hillary. The Electoral College put that monster in office.
Yeah.
She won.
Yeah, she did.
She won the popular vote. The people
did
not stay home.
Yeah.
The people for Hillary came out.
Yeah, she did win the popular vote, yes. You're right about that. But
she lost in Michigan by what, 20,000 votes?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, I get this
argument all the time. Well, the southern states, the western states, I don't know, Houston and Dallas, Texas, pretty good-sized places, awful lot of people live in those western states now. I think it's evened out. It's time for the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be just one person, one vote.
That's
you don't vote, that's it, done. You know, you don't vote, that's it. This Electoral College stuff is garbage. It really, truly is. We don't need it anymore.
I mean, if I belong to a club, and the club said to me, the women only get 2 points, and the men get 5, so let's vote on our next person that's going to run the club, I would tell them to go stick it. And that's exactly how I feel about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen,
I think
the Electoral College,
you know, it's something that needs to be changed.
The Electoral College has outlived its usefulness. Those states are not barren anymore.
Okay, can I say something without being cut off? The Electoral College system, doesn't it empower the U.S. population and battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, the smaller states, you know? I'm just playing devil's advocate asking that question. That's what some people say, you know, like places like Iowa and Rhode Island, New Hampshire, they get a say in who the president is because California, New York, and Florida would just overpower them and therefore it wouldn't, you know, mean a damn thing.
Yeah, but David, the thing is, the way I look at it, it's not everyone in California is going to vote Democrat. You know, not everyone in let's say Montana, they're not all going to vote Republican. So it's one person, one vote. That is fair. Who cares how many people you have in your state? It doesn't matter. No one gets 100% of the vote if you do it.
Aren't we the United States of America?
Yeah.
Don't we fall under the one flag and one pledge allegiance?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I mean, that's why I think the Electoral College needs to go. I mean, it's not going to go for this election, but I really think they need to make it an issue for the next election. I truly do, because it's more fair. Because if you don't vote, you don't get a say. That's the bottom line. You don't vote, you don't get a say. That's all. And you have nothing to complain about if you didn't vote. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, really, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, the Electoral College, the history of the Electoral College, the race, it had racist origins, you know, because for more than two centuries after it was designed to empower Southern white voters, the system continued to do just that today, you know. So in a colorblind political system, possibly under the Constitution, if it was the Supreme Court's evisceration of the Voting Rights Act of 2013, did little to help matters, while black people in America today are not experiencing 1950s levels of voter suppression. Efforts to keep them and other citizens from participating in elections began within 24 hours of the Shelby County versus Holder ruling and have increased ever since. In Shelby County's oral argument, for example, Justice Anthony Scalia cautioned, quote, whenever a society adopts racial entitlements, it is very difficult to get them out through the normal political processes, end quote. So ironically enough, there is some truth to an otherwise frighteningly numb claim, you know, because we all know Justice Scalia is a racist douchebag. May he burn in hell.
Mm-hmm.
American electors have an acute history of racial entitlements, only they don't privilege black Americans, you know, like a majority of the welfare state in Kentucky and southern states, you know, it helps poor white Americans. But
well, then I have a question.
A picture,
Go ahead.
It paints a picture that, you know, is only black and minorities, you know, like, you know, like abuse the welfare system, for example. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what about if they make gerrymandering? What do you think about gerrymandering? If they get rid of that completely and get rid of the, you know, just no more gerrymandering, that's going to be illegal. Because it seems like in South Carolina, for instance, the state was gerrymandered in a black area, in a black, you know, where more black and brown people lived, and it was gerrymandered heavily there. They took it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has not said a word about it. In other words, they had to have their election, gerrymandered state, and the Supreme Court ignored the case, basically, ignored the case. So they had to go along with the gerrymandered election. I mean, that's wrong. You know, the Supreme Court just let it go. They didn't. They never brought the case up, and they knew that they were going to have that election, and they never brought the case up. They just let it run out of time, and then they had the election. You know, so that's another thing. So gerrymandering maybe should be looked at as well, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, because Florida, for example, in the 2020 elections, Ron DeSantis and the Republicans there added three congressional district seats, and the Supreme Court of Florida, which is made up of conservatives mostly, you know, said, no, that's wrong. You know, it should be these new districts are illegal, and it should redraw it, you know, and have a bipartisan election commission in Florida. And DeSantis and Republicans totally ignored it. And it was too late to carry to the Supreme Court, and boom, it just went through. And Republicans won all three of those. You get what I'm saying? So if the Republicans say they're for law and order, but yet still they do this crap, you know, it's just mind-boggling that people still vote for them, even though they're proven liars, you know, and manipulators.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we have the Supreme Court that we have right now. Not all nine of them. I would say six in my opinion.
And for centuries, white voters have gotten undue weight as a result of innovations such as poll taxes and voter ID laws and outright violence to discourage racial minorities from voting. You know, they're going to try it again in 2024, the violence.
Yeah.
The point was obvious, everyone paying attention. Like William F. Buckley argued in this essay he wrote years ago, Why the South Must Prevail, that white Americans are, quote, entitled to take such measures as are necessary to prevail, politically and culturally, anywhere they are outnumbered because they are part of the advanced race. Advanced race. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, William F. Buckley basically was a racist asshole. But America's institution boasted white political power in less obvious ways, too. And the nation's oldest structure, structural racial entitlement program, is one of the most consequential, the Electoral College. So the Electoral College has to go. Commentators today tend to downplay the extent to which race and slavery contributed to the framers' creation of the Electoral College, in effect whitewashing history. After the considerations that factored into the framers' calculus, race and slavery were perhaps the foremost. You know, so, of course, the framers had a number of other reasons to engineer an Electoral College, fearful that the president might fall victim to a host of civic vices, that he could become susceptible to corruption and cronyism, sow disunity and exercise overreach. And the men sought to constrain executive power consistent with constitutional principles such as federalism and the checks and balances. So the delegates to the Philadelphia Convention had scant concept of the American presidency and the duties, the powers, and the limits of the office. But they did have a handful of ideas about the method of selecting the chief executive. When the idea of popular vote was raised, they griped openly that it could result in too much democracy. With few objections, they quickly dispense with the notion that the people might choose their leader. And that's how it should be. The people should choose their leader. One vote, so the forefathers fucked it up.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's run its course. Let's put it that way. It needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to go. And hopefully the next election, it'll be gone. Let's hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And, you know, even James Madison and Benjamin Franklin professed a theoretical commitment to popular democracy. They succumbed to the realities of the situation. That the future president acknowledged that, quote, the people at large was in an opinion the fittest to select the chief executive. And yet, in the same breath, he captured the sentiments of the South in the most diplomatic terms. And I quote him saying, this is James Madison, there was one difficulty, however, of a serious nature pending an immediate choice by the people. The right of suffrage was much more diffuse in the northern than the southern states, and the latter could have no influence in the election on the score of the Negroes. The substitution of electors obviated this difficulty and seemed on the whole to be a liability to the fierce objections. So in other words, because the South had a lot of black people, they had this poll tax and everything, and if you couldn't read or write or own property, then you couldn't vote. So that disenfranchised the African-American slaves. And even after the Civil War, when Lincoln had the proclamation of freedom, you know, he, with the Reconstruction era, he would try to, like, get African-Americans to vote. The general in his army, Ulysses Grant, wanted to reconstruct, continue the Reconstruction, but because the South was so powerful, even after the Civil War, you know, and Andrew Johnson, who was a war Democrat, who was Lincoln's running mate, he was a devout racist, a KKK member, and he, you know, sympathized with the South. You know, so all that went down the drain, and the Electoral College stayed, and black people were disenfranchised. You know, so the whole thing is just messed up. And the and the founding fathers really messed up on the putting this Electoral College thing of a jail.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Absolutely. So let's go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say one more thing that You know, from right from the get-go, the Electoral College has produced no shortage of lessons about the impact of racial entitlement in selecting the president. You know, history buffs and Alexander Hamilton fans are aware that in its first major failure, the Electoral College produced a tie between Thomas Jefferson and his running mate, Aaron Burr. What's less known about the election of 1800 is the way the Electoral College succeeded, which is to say that it operated as one might have expected based on its embrace of the Three-Fifths Compromise. The self-baked-in advantages, the bonus on its embrace of the Three-Fifths Compromise, the South, the electoral colleges, electoral votes it received from maintaining slaves, all while not allowing those slaves to vote, made a difference in election outcome. You know, so it gave the slaveholder Jefferson an edge over his opponent, an incumbent president and abolitionist John Adams. So, you know, there again, you know, the Electoral College fucked up, basically. But yeah, moving right along.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's do the comparison of the 2024 Voters Guide.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. I kind of had to laugh at some of these things that I was reading. It's just, I was like, this guy is nuts. So anyway, the candidates on key issues, 2024, Orange Man. There's never been a presidential candidate like Orange Man Trump, who's 77 years old. Trump, who announced he would seek re-election in November of 22, could become the first ex-president to win back the White House, Grover Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not about it. So let's talk about, his stance on climate change. Climate change. Trump opposes most climate change legislation, a position that hasn't changed since his term in the White House. During his presidency, he withdrew from the United States from the Paris Agreement, a global climate initiative that Biden rejoined once he took office. Trump also says supporters of climate change are trying to destroy the nation's energy industry. In other words, that's why he says, drill, drill, drill. As President Trump rolled back swaths of the nation's environmental regulations, and he has regularly minimize the effects of climate change around the world. And we know that President Biden has put forth tax credits for cars. If you buy an electric car, he's moving forward on climate change because we know we have a window, you know, for climate change. There is a window, and we have to go by this window or else the next generation will not be able to breathe. So what will that do for the next generation? Nothing. You know, I mean, it's sad. So we need to be aware of that. Crime and policing. Do you have it now, David?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Crime and policing. Trump supports increased powers for police and says Democratic policies are leading to crime sprees in big cities. Meanwhile, opponents say his proposed crackdowns threatened civil liberties. Trump, during his term in office, did sign the First Step Action into law, which expanded some early release programs for people convicted of crimes and reduced certain mandatory minimum sentences, among other changes. He also issued several high-profile pardons and while in office, working along Kim Kardashian on some efforts. What Kardashian had to do with crime and policing? I don't get that one. Let's go on to education.
You know, she was in law school and she did the bar and everything. I don't know if she passed it, but you know, she spoke on behalf of you know, many African Americans and minorities who were jailed because of the drug laws.
Kim Kardashian did?
Drug laws. Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay.
And she got some freed when George Bush was in power, and ever since then she's been speaking or trying to speak on behalf of, you know, harsh punishment against African Americans and other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So are you sure about that? You just text them or something. Should I or shouldn't I?
It's up to you. It's up to you. Let's go. That was crime and policing. Now, education. I do want to get through this, and then you can decide what you want to do. Education. Trump has proposed a program designed to give parents more control over local schools. Yeah, we know, like banned books, including the right to elect and fire school principals. No. They're in a union. While education has not been a major focus of his campaign, he has been critical of Biden's efforts to cancel student loan debt for millions of borrowers. In 2023, he passed the Supreme Court justices striking down a chunk of Biden's plan, which Trump called unfair for people who have paid back their educational loans. Well, he doesn't pay back his loans, does he, Trump?
No, he doesn't, no.
Okay. Trump has also praised the court rulings targeting affirmative action programs in higher education. Okay.
Well, you know what? Trump shouldn't be the one to talk. Trump shouldn't be the one to talk. Reason being, Trump is the one isn't the one to talk because he and Republicans want to get rid of the Department of Education. And we all know that, you know, people with less education, they'll be like foot soldiers. You know?
Yeah.
And if we have, you know, education now in the system, you know, and so much people are so dumb and daft to even vote Republican. Imagine without an education system, no public schools and everything. Then, you know, it would just sheeple, you know?
Yeah.
Like anything Trump said or Republicans said, to follow like good foot soldiers. You know, George Carlin had it right. He had a stand-up comedy thing where, you know, people don't think for themselves. There's no critical thinking, you know? And I think if we pump more money in public schools, then we can get better results, not these chartered schools that whitewash history, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, he shouldn't talk anything. And there's over $9 billion so far in student debt relief Joe Biden has provided. So on the economy, Trump received some of his highest marks from voters on his handling of the economy, which is, you know, so crazy because he's been bankrupt, what, 4 or 5 times? And, you know, running a business is different from running a country. If he can't run his business, how can you expect him to run a country, which is the economy is like 100 times bigger? So Trump and his fellow Republicans passed a $1.5 trillion tax cut overall in 2017, which would have expired in the next president term in 2025. He has criticized the growing federal debt through his critics' point that the Art of the Deal offer did little to address it during his term in the White House. The nation's budget and debt increase under Trump's watch. The former president has been more skeptical in free trade initiatives and agreements that some of his Republican counterparts going so as far as start a trade war with China during his term in office, meaning he raised tariffs on steel and he raised tariffs on lumber and different things. You know, how does he expect the American economy to survive? That's not good economics right now. You know, Trump is just, I don't know, I don't even have an adjective to describe what a fool he is.
Yep, absolutely is. Let's see, foreign.
Let's bring in another caller before we move on.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Hello, the 586 error code. Is this?
Hi, it's Madeline. I think this is me.
Madeline, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi. And you know what? You were comparing to a degree the fact that it just irks Biden. It irks Trump that Biden forgave the student loan. Now here, stop. Keep that in. Just stop at that point, and you know, forward slash. As many times he financially screwed people out of money. If you can't call, if you cannot call that a forgiveness, I don't know what you can.
Exactly.
You think about it.
I know.
You know,
well,
like he doesn't
know
like giving, forgiving, but
times.
He screwed people out. So he kept the money. So it's like that's like forgiving.
But
that's like forgiving himself.
Yeah.
basically. Yeah. Okay.
No, maybe.
And we're all too stupid to see this, right? I don't think so.
No.
I know we are not. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might not like the way we think about how, you know, the government's got too much hands. Oh, you know, look how the tables have turned. Now you know, they're in your uterus. Mm-hmm. They're in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
They're in your pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
The government, mind you. Okay?
Yeah.
And they talk about how the Democrats and liberals are—they're the ones that want to give away.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Does not make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Not much makes sense, Steve. And we know that, you know.
Hi, David.
See.
How are you?
Well, not bad. Just hanging in there and everything. So I have another caller from North Carolina. And this is Christian Politics 123-515-605-9802. Say first name. Where are you calling in from? Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's
up? How you doing? Well, first, I'd like to take my hats off to you there. You told a good thing there, Truth, about the first step program there that Trump implemented to help people in jail that are oppressed and people that, you know, they don't get fair due process. So he helped, you know, get a lot of cases were reviewed around the country. A lot of people got out of jail. A lot of people are still getting out of jail because of that and pardoned, which I think, you know, the justice system we know is unbalanced and unfair and does discriminate. Mm-hmm. So I'll agree with you there 100% on that. The Electoral College, I didn't catch – I caught the tail end of that. My thoughts is the way the Electoral College works is, look, if we have the popular vote always decide our elections, then really we would only need California and Texas to conduct the elections because the popular vote, that's where most of the population is.
That doesn't matter. Think about this for a moment. Does everyone in California vote Democrat? Does everyone in California vote Republican? No. It's one person, one vote. It doesn't matter how many people are in your state because it is the United States of America, and all 50 states decide on who is going to be the president. And so if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain at all. You just take what comes. So that's why we need a fair process, and that's fair. If you don't vote, you don't have a chance to complain if you don't like the president. One person, one vote. It doesn't mean it has nothing to do with where you live. It has nothing to do with where
you
live.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. So the Electoral College... The Electoral College establishes that because the minority always gets a voice then, the minority in a republic.
Let's
put it this way. If we did not have an Electoral College, the minorities would all get to vote. And if we could get rid of gerrymandering, the minorities would really get to vote, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
You have to reestablish the districts, though, when the population
absolutely,
grows.
Yes, they would. We don't need to establish districts. One person, one vote. It doesn't matter where you live. Go to the nearest polling station. You mail in your ballot. That's it.
I disagree with the mail-in stuff. There's too much fraud there. It's too much fraud.
Example of fraud
for years. Huh? What?
Example of fraud.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mail-in. You don't think mailing in the ballots is opening the door to potential fraud?
No.
Person, a vote counter for many, many, many elections here in New Mexico, and the safeguards are outrageous. One person opens the outer envelope, and then it goes to a different table, and different people open the inner envelope. And a third group compares the signature in the computer to the signature on the voter ballot. There's no way it would take a conspiracy of thousands of people to change anybody's vote, and it doesn't happen. There's too much going on. It's done in a group setting where people can see what's happening. It's not possible for that to do. And you might talk to the Trump people, too, because – Trump guy just got arrested for voting 9 times, one guy. So he probably has access to voter rolls and know who died. That's not what's happening in mail-in ballots. There is no way in hell that that's happening.
Well, with everything being electronic, now every state's different, of course, but with the electronic, with the electric computer systems and the design of the Dominion machines, how they're, you know, with the cloud, with how it goes up in the cloud, and how could we not expect something that's digital?
Ballot is fed individually into the machine, which counts it.
True.
It doesn't go anywhere into the cloud, into the atmosphere, anywhere.
Okay.
It goes to a SIM card, which are pulled at the end of the day and hand-carried directly to the voter center. And they're uploaded from SIM cards at that computer. Nothing goes in the air. Nothing can be hacked. If you buy use the right equipment, it doesn't happen.
Anything that operates on a Windows system, anything, is open and susceptible.
It doesn't operate on a Windows
system. It operates
to a SIM card on the location where it's at.
Okay.
Nobody can access it who isn't officially there. And it's under supervision of many, many people all the time. Nobody's alone with these machines. Nothing is done that in any way could be screwed with, unless you have a humongous group of people all joining together to do it. And even then, it wouldn't, because the SIM card has to be hand-carried to the voting center.
What about the ballot harvesting? What about the 2000 that Mules movie there that came out that showed video of people doing ballot harvesting?
First off, once the ballot is printed, no one who works there touches it again. The voter fills it out, they carry it over, they place it in the machine, and the machine is locked. Those ballots stay inside that machine until the end of the day, when they are all taken out, put in numerical order by precinct in groups of 4 people doing it at a time together, and then they are locked into bags and again taken to the precinct headquarters and locked into lockers there. They're not accessible to the people. Nobody's wandering around with baskets full of ballots. They are not touched by the people who work there until after the day is closed out, the SIM card is pulled, all those things, and it all balances out. And so we have a paper copy as well as the SIM card to match the total. So if there's any disability,
let me ask you this question.
Do you know when absentee voting started? Do you know when it started?
Each state is different now, but my state, it started about 3 weeks prior, before the primary.
No. I'm talking about the history.
I don't know.
It started around the Civil War. Think about for a moment. Around the Civil War time. That is how long this country has been doing mail-in voting, absentee voting, because they are not in their state. They can do an absentee ballot.
Everyone in the military
One more thing. Why is it that every election since the Civil War has been okay, except for when Trump lost the election?
Well, that's what
because
I was going to ask you.
Who won their election during that voting cycle is arguing about it.
If Trump wins this next election around, will we hear from the left crying foul that it was rigged or anything, or that it was set up? I mean, are we going to hear that,
never,
or are we going to accept the result?
Have Democrats ever done that?
No one
has
ever done
that.
The only person in the world who's done that is Trump and his sycophants.
Well,
when he
beat Hillary now, there was a lot of people that were upset.
He did not beat Hillary. She won by millions of votes.
She lost electoral college.
She didn't win the popular vote.
Correct. But that's our process. That's how our elections are run.
Well, wait a minute, Chap. Let's go back a few steps. Let's go back because we were talking about mail-in voting. So what I'm trying to say to you is that it's amazing that we haven't had any problems or any complaints about mail-in voting or drop-off voting, absentee voting until Trump lost the election.
Exactly.
Well, Gore and Bush, it was a big thing. Remember with Florida?
That's when it all started. Bush what?
No.
With Bush and Gore back in 2000, I remember there was a big thing with Florida.
Did Gore carry on for years and years?
Or did Gore accept it?
He finally did openly accept it, but not at first.
Right. And did Hillary carry on over and over and over like Trump is still crying? Oh, he is still sobbing that it was rigged, or did he accept it? He didn't accept it, but Hillary did.
Well, there's a lot of questions.
Where are you going with this, Joe?
There's a lot of questions about Georgia, Maricopa County in Arizona.
There's someone else on the line. I want to say hello to Khalil. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, Khalil. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. Do you have anything to add to our conversation?
Not right now, but maybe another conversation. I appreciate it.
Okay.
We're glad you called, Khalil.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're calling in.
Yeah, stay with us. You may not need to answer if you don't want to. Stay with us.
You can stay with us. Absolutely. Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. Put us on mute.
So, what were we saying? So let's just say that.
I don't know.
I'm always getting thrown off my game. You know what I'm saying? It's just, what can I do?
What about climate change? You were talking about climate change.
Yeah.
Now, bringing up Al Gore. Al Gore had a big thing with climate change. Remember, yeah. we were all going to be dead by now. Remember, and he did say that. That's a fact. But look, it's been debunked. It's not true.
He didn't say we were going to be dead.
He speculated. He was one of the first to speculate.
Yes, he did. He did not have a date. And have you noticed, like in Alaska, everything is melting? Have you seen videos of that? I know I have.
I have had
family that's gone to Alaska just recently, and they said it doesn't even look like Alaska anymore because of climate change. I don't know what is the concept. Why don't you understand? Why are you against climate change?
We cannot control it. We didn't cause it.
Why? Wait a second. One second. Maybe we cannot control it 100%, but maybe we can slow it down or help slow it down so that the future generations don't have to wear masks to breathe.
Well, I hope
what
we don't,
think about
because
that?
Masks
I
don't
think
do anything
that.
To protect us.
I
hope we don't.
That. I think about that.
Hey, but Joe, like with fracking, for example, fracking would, like, you know, kill the environment totally. It might land, you know, uninhabitable.
Of course I don't want to see oil tankers spill oil into the ocean. Of course I don't want to see stuff like that.
Green energy. So an alternative is
then
green energy.
What's wrong with green energy?
It's not practical. It's not practical.
It's not the
only Germany and Denmark. But
you
Germany and Denmark are doing that.
Yeah, but they're countries that are a fraction of the size of the United States. How can you compare Denmark to the United States?
Because every state can have their own green energy, just like we have right now. Every state has something right now. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
Do you think electric cars are really going to be the future of us? You really think
yes,
they'll
I
work?
Do. Yes.
How would we charge? How would the charging stations hold the grid?
But we managed to do it for the last 4 years just fine. And it's reduced the air pollution tremendously.
And meanwhile,
yeah, I mean,
and meanwhile, China's
saying, "Oh no, you've got to have lead in gasoline in order to get any kind of performance." Well,
yeah,
well, you don't.
I'm a small business owner. Okay, I'm a landscaper.
Yeah.
There is no way that I could use battery operated equipment to use do on commercial jobs. It would be impossible. They're not powerful enough.
I understand that. Oh, well, Joe, I will go with you with that. I agree
with you
on that. I agree with you on that. But maybe. But maybe the technology will come along. See, that's how you have to think. You have to think futuristic. You can't just
okay, I'll buy that too.
Today.
I will agree with you on that also then. If technology,
okay.
But don't implement it now,
think,
it, you know, make me suffer,
I mean,
you know.
Did we get a man on the moon? Yes, we did. So what I'm trying to say is we have to. We have to think forward. We can't say no. We got to drill, baby, drill. No, no. I mean,
hey, Laurie.
Our pollution is horrible. The pollution is horrible. Everyone sees the lakes. We see all these fish getting caught in all the plastic and everything that we dispose. I mean, we are a bad society. We really are. We're horrible. We're horrible. I'm just as much to blame as everybody else.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with you that the pollution is definitely detrimental to our environment. I'll agree with you on that. But at the same time, though, the electric cars, though, even the executives of the car companies now are saying, whoa, we got to slow down. And that's all I'm saying. Let's not implement this, you know, within the next 2 years, 3 years. It's going to take years to.
Okay.
Who said that? Nobody said that.
I didn't hear that.
Nobody said that we have to go 1,000% in 2 years.
Yeah,
you know, there we go again with exaggerating the facts.
Isn't California trying to push for this by 2025?
Well, I don't know what California is doing. All I'm saying here in Michigan, you know, this is where the electric cars are coming from, okay? They're producing them here. They are selling them here. But what they're finding is we don't have enough of the, I don't know what you call them, the charge station.
Yeah, yeah.
The charge station. Well, that's part of the Biden administration's plan as well, to get people jobs, build those charge stations so that people can stop and pull off and they can charge their car. But it is the future. It is the future. We have to go forward with the future. Have you ever been to Europe, Joe? Have you ever been to Europe?
Many years ago. I went to Florence,
so you
Italy.
Can get off, you can get off a plane. You can get off of your flight in Italy, and you can be at one spot. You can get on that train. You can go all the way from Bologna to Rome on a bullet train. And you don't have to worry about a thing. We are so behind in this country. People
understand
that.
I agree with you on that aspect.
That is why there's nothing wrong with green energy. There's nothing wrong with trying to go forward with climate change to make it better.
I just worry about when you got Ocasio-Cortez, who's very uneducated. That's it. I mean, she just talks out her butt. I mean, the things that she says, you know, I just can't agree with her, you know?
And what about Marjorie Taylor Greene? She doesn't talk out of her big fat butt.
I don't really know too much about her, to be honest with you.
Don't know too much about her. But you pick on a Democrat, but you don't know anything about the Republican.
Lynn
and Madeline want to say something. Lynn, go ahead, and Madeline.
Hi, guys.
I've worked in the car business 38 years. Things back when I started, we had carbureted cars, leaded fuel. And every time they changed the law and said we have to bring gas mileage requirements down, and everybody's like, oh, my God, we can't do that. You expect miracles, you expect miracles. And every single time, they did it.
Yep.
You just have to tell them what the requirements are, what you need, and let the engineers go to work to find it's possible.
Yeah.
The way we've always done it isn't the best we can do. We can
do better,
and we can make electric cars better. And if people would stop vandalizing the charging things, because people who think, oh, electric cars are going to make us obsolete and everybody's going to have one. And so they're destroying the chargers. How useful is that? And what's the point of that except to say, I want to live in a cave for the rest of my life. I want to be in the dark ages, and I don't want any advancement, any improvement. That's the kind of people we have problems with.
Well, that's problems we do have with these people. I'm going to tell you. You know what? I just saw a program today that really didn't make me worry too much about what's going on, about what they're claiming. And it brought an attention to, you know, we all realize that. In Wyoming near Utah, we have a super volcano under a Yellowstone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is this. Lately, it's been talking. And
really?
We're not talking of volcano. There are only several super volcanoes, and the caldera from that super volcano is in Yellowstone Park. And
the way the volcano does,
that jet stream, just like Mount St. Helens, it's going to come east.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
Many different ways. You know, so I'm not really going to worry so much about it because God only knows with global warming, who doesn't say that because we can't keep the crust cool, that means the innards are even hotter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Mother Nature's taking, it's almost like she's taking over. So.
Yeah,
I thought that it just blew my mind.
She's always been in charge. We just didn't respect her.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, anyway, thank you for taking my call tonight. I appreciate
Mother Nature.
Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Have a good night. Mm-hmm.
You too. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
good night,
Jay.
Good night, Maddie and Maddie, everybody. Maddie's going to bed. I'm going sleepy. Okay.
I talked to tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. My heart to you guys.
Thank you,
Madeline,
for calling in. That was Madeline from Michigan and Joe from North Carolina. Okay, what next now? Do you think America, if we turn fascist, can the Americans, can fascism survive in the American-style system or government? I doubt it.
No. We're spoiled Americans. No. You can't have one person running the country. It just doesn't work.
No.
Does not work.
Especially if it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. No, it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, we can fix what's broken. We know what's broken. We know what can be fixed. Things can be fixed. But if you go into something like a dictatorship, you won't be able to fix anything because they won't allow you to even say that it needs to be fixed. At least we can say it needs to be fixed and complain about
it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, this background noise is driving me crazy. Khalil, can you stop doing what you're doing because it's bringing back a feedback? I put you on mute for a little bit. I put you back in.
It's okay. Khalil, did you have something to say? Did you have something to say, Khalil?
Uh-oh.
Did you have a comment on anything?
Not right now.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll have another caller. Hello, Carla. What's cooking tonight from Flint?
Oh, this is Doris.
Hi, Doris.
On the phone, Rick. Hi. Anyway, with a family member. Anyway, hi. I guess
hi.
I missed most of it. But
yeah,
he called me, and it's about a knee problem. But anyway, so what's happening? What are you talking about?
Well, democracy and fascism.
About what?
Democracy or fascism? Which one will America choose in 2024?
Oh, yeah.
And the last question I asked, is can fascism survive in America?
Can we survive in fascism? We already have fascism in America, and it's the most important election in my whole life that's coming up.
That's right.
Doris, hold on.
Yeah.
There's a bad feedback.
Clear.
there's a bad feedback. You know, I don't know what's going on, but could you, like, mute that feedback? It's killing me.
What is it? What does it sound like?
Like I hear
I know
himself
I'm driving
talk.
My car, but
oh, okay.
Somebody talking?
Yes, ma'am. No, well, maybe that's it. Maybe I had the radio on or the window down, but, you know, I heard myself for some reason.
No,
okay, but go ahead. Make your point.
Anyway. Okay, the thing that I saw, one of the things Mary Trump said that I think people may finally get the message, it isn't that Trump is causing them to be afraid or that Trump is controlling them. They are with him. He is saying what they are and how they feel. And that is the problem. And I just wrote to somebody to understand that there's this many people in this country that absorb, you know, that accept that or embrace that.
Yeah.
It's frightening. Although they are a minority, and it's so important not to let the other side by discouraging people that everything is wrong and you can never do anything. That's when they win. People give up.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think between now and then we have to keep standing up. Like when Biden put out some ads, I thought they were very good, and it went up, and he got money, and it showed that, you know, you can really motivate them. But we have to work real hard at it. We have to work real hard at it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I agree with you.
That's to see somebody as flawed, as inhumane, as indecent, that they associate themselves with is, I've never seen that I can recall in my life.
Neither have I.
Like that.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yep.
It like we said in the top of the show, this is the most important election. I know it is in my lifetime. I feel that this is the most important election in my lifetime. I can speak for myself because I feel threatened. I feel that my rights are threatened. I feel like my children's rights are threatened. I feel like the young people's lives are threatened, their futures are threatened. That's what I feel. I feel as if they're trying to stifle people, stifle from, you know, working, and stifle from, you know, just being able to talk, or, you know, it's sad. And we are not, this country is not what they have envisioned. What the Heritage Foundation wants is not what this country is, and nor does it ever want that.
No.
And so we have to remember that this election is crucial. It's either democracy or a dictatorship. That's what you're going to vote for in this election. Don't even think about the candidates.
And I
think about,
right,
you know.
Don't have anything left. For anybody to think you can overlook that, in other words, he has shown no reliable reason for anything except what suits him, and that other people accept that is terrifying. And when I see all the violence and intimidation that he has motivated, even and got people that support him that he doesn't even know to go out and carry out these threats, he's just brought his chaos. And all these threats, how many people would threaten, you know, the child of a judge that you're in the case of? Who would do something like that? Somebody who has never been brought to bear on anything, who's never had to be accountable.
Yeah, someone that has nothing to do, you know, her father is a judge, has nothing to do with her. That's his job, you know, and so he is threatening someone for doing their job. And the family member, it's ludicrous. It's just, he needs to be put in prison for that. I'm sorry. You just don't do that.
Because, you know, if any other person who did that, then they're waiting trial.
What, David?
Anybody who did half what Donald Trump did would be in custody, you know, go under mental evaluation and be charged. With threatening the life of the president, threatening whomever, you know?
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Donald Trump must keep getting break after break after break. When is enough enough? You know, he's going to get somebody killed, like what he did in January 6th.
Yeah. They keep raising the bar for him and making excuses for him.
There's no excuses left, none whatsoever. After I saw that video this weekend, I thought, this has got to be it. Monday, maybe somebody will do something or say something. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. We're a disgrace. And if you think people just in this country saw that video, it's on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's all over the country. Mm-hmm. It's all over probably Europe. I mean, everywhere. It's terrible.
His rhetoric always hit a call for me. Look how bad it has gotten. Donald Trump needs to stop, you know? He needs to stop.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to stop. His freedom and his lifestyle is being threatened. And all the things that he has done in his life to other people and through his businesses is coming home to roost. And it's called
mm-hmm.
karma. We've
mm-hmm.
talked about this before. And you can't stop karma. I'm sorry. So, you know, what are you going to do about it? Now it's time for the FBI to step up or somebody. I don't know, you know, who could do it, but I would think the FBI would step up and do something. I mean, somebody has to, you know.
Yeah.
I know President Biden can't do it. He has no jurisdiction. He can't do anything.
Exactly.
He really can't.
Mhm. Yeah, I'm just sick of this guy, Trump. He needs to go. He needs to go. You know? Why can't he die on a chicken bone, choking on a chicken bone or something? Why? You know,
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have 8 minutes to go on everything, and we'll wrap up now on everything. Last words from everybody. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So what do you think next week will hold in terms of, you know, Trump and politics in general?
Well, I just got through saying, I hope that after what has transpired with his threat to the judge's daughter and, you know, what he posted on Truth Social, you know, showing Biden tied up and gagged in the back of a truck, I hope that somebody with some courage steps up and does something about it. That is my hope for next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll end right there.
I agree with Lori, and I want to clarify something. I don't want my words twisted. I said that Donald Trump has never owned a pet, not even a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
got to be a reason. Animals don't take to him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you red hatters think about it. If animals don't take to him, why doesn't he own something?
Yep.
He can't care for an animal. He can't care for you.
Nope.
So don't twist my words
to...
when you call in. That's my message to the red hatters.
He used to give Mike Pence a bunch of shit because his family has cats, and he thinks it's very
mm-hmm.
low life to have animals in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trump says, you mean that's something from Trump?
I think it's low life to gold plate.
Yeah, Trump felt that because Mike Pence had cats. That's very low life to have cats out and animals in your home. You know, that was his words, not mine. You know, so that's sort of point what Liz was saying.
I think it's low life to go play the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to explain
well,
to the red hatters. If he can't accept that, he's not good for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with Glenn that, you know, I'm agreeing with Glenn that, you know, it's low life to have golden toilet seats, you know. That's very low life, not having animals.
Yeah.
Animals are beautiful creatures. They're intelligent,
right.
They're loving, and Donald Trump don't have one speck of love in him, and they're loyal. Animals are the most loyal things, more loyal than humans.
And they have good instinct, very good instinct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, they do. They
Madeline,
really
your final good. Word. We're running out of time.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Madeline.
Ooh, I'm done.
Oh, no, Madeline left. Sorry.
Yeah, she
no, Madeline
up.
Left.
Remember?
I'm sorry.
Doris. Oh, well, you know, one thing I'll just say, in my whole life of knowing Donald Trump from 73 when I was noticed, I have never seen an iota of humanity, of compassion,
mm-hmm.
of decency, of honesty in him, not a bit. Mm-hmm. And how mm-hmm. they try to compare him to some, like, the second coming, I cannot imagine. No.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's something you just can't. It's just different than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the Christian conservatives, the evangelicals. You know, because how do you move from Reagan to somebody like Trump, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so antiquated and a 180 degree spin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's been divorced 3 times, somebody who cheated on his wife with a porn star. I mean, my God. You know, he can't quote mm-hmm. a verse from the Bible. He's making his own mm-hmm. Bible to sign and sell to people for $60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, threatening mm-hmm. people, judges, family. I mean, would Jesus do that? Ask yourself that question, evangelicals. Would Jesus do that? No. They don't care about Jesus. You know, they just care about themselves and keeping that power.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2045, we've seen the change now where, you know, America is going to be a minority-majority country. And the
mm-hmm.
quicker they accept that, the better it is off for everybody. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Christian nationalism, not will work in America. And a theocracy will definitely not work in America. And in 2024, we're going to beat down fascism, and democracy will prevail. Joe Biden will win in a landslide. I've seen it for the past 3-4 shows now. Joe Biden will win in a landslide because people wake up. They're waking up. You know, a lot of Republicans turn against him. But anyway, Khalil, thank you for calling in.
Elaine,
Doris, who else? Madeline from Michigan calling in. And Joe from North Carolina. And also that guy from Panama City Beach. He didn't give his name. He did say Think for Yourself as his name. But, you know, whatever. Thank you for calling in, even though you're wrong. So I want to thank you for being with us tonight on Sunday, March 31st, 2024. Happy Easter to everybody. And we hope
happy
that you
Easter.
Can join us tomorrow night, same time, same place on Block Talk Radio for another edition of the Kitchen Politics 123 blog podcast. And this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. And this is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now. Good night.
Bye.
Good night, all.
Good night.
I'm gonna go get some more. Oh,